a world.
What's up, Jazz Hands?
My man, what it is?
What it do with you?
What it be? What it always is?
You just made me think about when people are like, I'm passionate about that.
Oh, yeah? Tell me more.
Yeah. Like, what does that mean when people are like, ooh, I'm so passionate about it? Like, are you really passionate about it? Or are you telling people that you're passionate about it?
Like, yeah.
Like, what are you passionate about?
It definitely feels like something I would do. I get so buzzed and excited. Here's one thing that has been a big struggle for me versus people who think analytically. And I think I would prefer to be analytical, but I remember, think, and operate on how it feels.
Smells and feels. Yeah.
Off of emotions. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah.
Like a song gives me goosebumps and I don't know why. Like some really good sauce on a dish is like, yeah. Ooh, that's so good. You know,
like if you play Gautier, you feel a certain type of way.
Exactly. So it's always about how did it make me feel? How did that conversation make me feel? And, and other people are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I almost feel like passionate things are like out, like they're life things.
Mm.
And then when people say that at work sometimes, I'm like, are you really passionate about leading people?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, are you really? Because leading people can be a bitch.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah, especially when you're like, there are times where I've seen people in a scenario and I'm like, that's just a lose. Like you've been told you have to take some shit from above and parlay it as and spin it as to like, hey, this is going to be so cool. And it's like, how do you do that? And you know, yeah. I've seen people do it well and I've seen people do it pretty poorly.
It's like somebody taking over a shitty team,
yeah.
Right? Like taking over the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, I know your son looks like him. But you take that over and it's like, all right, my goal is to whip this team into shape.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also in the back of your head, like this guy's going to get fired.
Yeah.
Maybe 2-3 years. You don't jump off the porch and get them in the playoffs immediately.
No.
So a lot of times people go into these gigs knowing that there's a lose-lose deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like we don't talk about F1 very much on here, but we'll be about to change that. So, you know, this season has been like crazy, right? It's like all these big things, like biggest name in current motorsports, Lewis Hamilton has gone from Mercedes to Ferrari.
Right.
And then they, Red Bull pushed out Checo. And now they've got this young pup, this young New Zealander kid who came in. Raced two races, and now they're like, Red Bull is like, nope, we're gonna push you out to the B League team, and we're gonna bring this other kid in. It's like, wow, the dude had two chances, but you know, so
he didn't hit the mark immediately.
He did not hit the ground running, which is like, I don't know how I feel about that, but
yeah. But back to my question, what are you passionate about?
I'm passionate about learning. There's just, you know, about absorbing information.
Passionate about no damn learning. No, I'm sorry, bro. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. Since I've been a tiny kid, it's just, and I think I've talked about this before. Like my dad is the very first person I've ever known. Maybe one of the only people I've known who never ran out of patience for my overwhelming that too.
Mm-hmm.
My overwhelming need to ask why. Because I was just like, why does it do that? Why is that going there? Why is this? And inevitably he would even explain something and then that would create more questions. Well, why? And so
he was cool hand Luke with you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Which I needed.
I'd have backhanded you.
What do you mean? Whatever you have. No, just kidding.
Enough questions, boy. How many questions you got for me, boy?
Not so much here.
But here. That's funny you say that because I was like, I asked you if what you were passionate about. I guess I could say I'm passionate about helping people.
Oh, for sure.
But a lot of times it's like one of those deals where you're like, you feel overwhelmed.
Mm.
You're like, I don't have capacity to make another sandwich. But then you're like, oh, well, it's just a couple pieces of bread and little meat, you know, and it's just like, now you're helping somebody else. So I think I am passionate about that. I'd rather do it proactively than reactively.
Mm, for sure.
You know, because proactively is me like, hey, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Got a minute? Let me offer up some advice.
Right.
Reactive is somebody coming to me like the Green Mile. You know what I'm saying? I'm dog tired, boss.
Yeah, I think I liken it to like your appendix, right? It's like, would you rather get your appendix taken out before or after it explodes? Like, so, right? It's before. Like, hey, man, I'm not feeling so good. Can we talk about this? Can we figure it? Oh, dude, your appendix is hurting, man. Let's get that out of there. It's like you internalize all of that. You let that chew on you and stew. And now that thing is burst. And now you got to go in there and clean all of that nastiness out. I mean, that's kind of that same thing. Is it's like, if you don't get the help that you need, you're going to let that explode inside of you.
Mm-hmm. So how do you flip your passion into your work?
That is the ancient Chinese secret. I think that, you know, what is that? That old
Sun Tzu?
Love what you do and you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah, right.
Which I think there's truth, but I also think there's bullshit to it, too. I mean,
talk to me about why you think it's BS.
I think things that you are passionate about, you should only do them when you feel that passion. Mm-hmm. So when your passion becomes your livelihood and you are required to do it, you know, say you're passionate as songwriting, right? And you're like, oh man, every once in a while, these awesome tunes just bubble up out of me.
Right.
But now you're like, you got a label and a recording contract. And it's like, we need 3 albums out of you. And now you're under the gun and you've got a deadline. Mm-hmm. That same passion isn't the same. It's not creating the same results. No.
Yeah. I think that's why I got into coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like just seeing people go from a place where they don't think they can do something to really doing it and achieving it.
Yeah.
You know, and so if that's your passion, then I think you can find a way into it. But like for you, mm-hmm. and I, you know what? It kind of makes sense because you're like an Apple whore. So
absolutely.
Learning for you is always learning sort of the new things that Apple has coming out. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
If you think about it like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, how many people like, don't bother me. I'm watching the keynote live. I don't want to.
That's you're the only person I've ever seen that watches, like, you know, when is the keynote? When do they come out? You know them.
It's like there's one. Well, they're kind of changing. Apple's changing. But it was always one in March and one in September. Mm-hmm. But now they're like,
you used
only
to take
for big
the day
things.
You used to take the day off to watch that.
I don't know about the day off, but the morning off for sure. I would be like, don't bother me. Busy. Mm-hmm. Busy.
Have you ever been the one live?
No, I came micrometers away from getting to go to one, but it didn't work out. But hopefully someday.
Yeah, you need to get up in there.
Oh, for sure.
You should have been in there with Jobs, but I guess Cook will do.
Yeah, who knows how much longer he's gonna be around. They're already talking about like him saying like, I'm good, let's pass the torch.
Who they gonna pass it to?
I don't know, dude. That's the thing.
They should pass it to you.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I see you wearing a black turtleneck up there.
Yeah. I could do it. I would look good up there.
Passion, that's a crazy term, isn't it?
It
because
is.
Because I just think a lot of people talk about it, but they're not about it.
No.
What are you really passionate about? Like, I know people who knit. I know people who mm-hmm. cook. But not a lot of times you can translate that into mm-hmm. work. And it's just like an overly used word to
I
me.
Agree with you.
I'm so passionate about being a servant leader. Are you?
That one.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm passionate about helping people, but I will say this. I want to help people that want to be helped.
Oh, for sure.
Not like people that, oh, bro, you got to want to be helped. You have to look inside yourself and say like, okay, I have some gaps.
Mm-hmm.
But don't come to me for help if you Johnny Perfect.
Exactly.
You know, because that's a pain. Trying to talk to somebody who thinks they have it all figured out is a waste of time.
Couldn't agree more.
You know what I mean?
So, I mean, it's like that movie, right? Any Given Sunday, right? One of our favorite clips that we play. You watch Jamie Foxx, who was what? He was a running back in the movie? Or was he a wide receiver?
Was he the quarterback?
No.
Yeah, he was a receiver.
Yeah,
because he's an LL.
Yeah, you look at him in during this really awesome clip, and he's in the back at the beginning of the clip, like, bro, I ain't got time for any of you. Mm-hmm. This is you talking out of your ass. This is so stupid. And then you watch him throughout the clip, like,
starts walking up.
Huh?
I hear right? you.
He went from a person that didn't want to be coached to he's ready. Like, I'm here. Let's go. I'm inspired. I'm jazzed.
Every time I see that clip, I want to hit somebody.
Right?
I get goosebumps every time.
Every time.
Yeah. But go ahead and finish your story.
So that's that thing is, it's like, if you feel that you're in this position of like, I don't want to be coached, I don't need any help, I'm not ready to be, you know, out there, get something, you know, get something that's going to jazz you up to be like, wait, I do want to improve. I do want to get better. I do want to enhance this scenario, and that turn on that passion.
Right.
And then be open to being coached or being led or being inspired for something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you might find out what a passion is. But too many people think they got it all figured out. Nobody does. Nobody has it all figured out. We're constantly evolving.
Baby.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Everybody thinks they got it figured out. They know what's best. And I mean, you said it best. It's really smart to be a lifelong learner.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you got to be in every MBA program, but just read a book, take a little course, take an online course of something you didn't know. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
And it might open your eyes and ears to something new, you know.
Just might. And by might, I mean it will.
It will. How did you get into welding?
Growing up on a farm, we didn't own the farm, but growing up on a farm, my best friend was the farmer's son. And, you know, the sooner I helped him out with his stuff, the sooner we could go hang out and
play
and ride bikes or shoot the shit or do whatever. So it was
what
like,
type of shit were you welding? To help him with?
Combines, sickles, right? Like blades or, you know, stuff on farms would break
some
all the time.
Some real children of the corn type shit, huh?
Farmers, in my mind, are some of the most ingenious people. They like, right? It's just like, none of them ever went to, well, not none of them. You know, most of them never went to school to get their mechanical engineering degree.
No, they learned on the fly with their dad.
Exactly.
No, I said a Phillips, goddammit. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, you know, out would come the stick welder and it would be like, oh, well, okay, you're cutting hay with this big ass mower, right? That just has this blades going ching, 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 ching. And you hit a big rock, sning, thing just snaps. It's like, oh, we got to weld that back together, get going, you know? And so it's just out of necessity. And so that was kind of where I learned to weld, stick welding. And then, you know, it just as a part of, I want to make this or build this or fix this. And it just became like, well, you got to have a welder for that. So I remember I was big into bartering. And I think I got my first welder because I had an old laptop that I kind of hooked up. And this guy had a welder he wasn't using anywhere. I'm like, oh, I'll trade you this laptop for that welder. And he's like, you'll give me a laptop for this welder? I'm like, you'll give me a welder for that laptop? And it was cool. That was my first welder.
You bartered it, huh?
I did. I love bartering so much.
Mm. You are a haggler?
Oh, cool. Yeah, probably to an annoying degree.
Oh, my God.
I've paid, I've gone to retail establishments and paid less than retail. Like I've haggled at a Best Buy. Like
my, that was my dad. He loved that. I'm like, dude, it says the price right there. That's the price. You're like, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, we talked about that before. I do that at Home Depot with regularity. I'm like, this is busted open. Can I have it?
Yeah. Mm. My favorite recent haggle story is REI. There was a tripod, like a $400 tripod in the garage sale section of REI, which is where they take their returns and then they just put them in there and they're like, you know, as is, you can't return it. You can't exchange. It's just like you pay for it. It's done. But they discount the crap out of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a tripod sitting in there and I know what it is. I'm like, oh, this is a really expensive tripod. And it's already marked down to like $200 or something from 400. But they put a date on there. I'm trying not to give away all six. I don't care. They put a date on there that says like, how long has it been there? And I know they want to push that stuff out of there.
Right.
And so I go to the guy. I'm like, hey, you guys have had this here a while. You know, I don't know what's wrong with it. You maybe take a little bit off of that price? And he's like, oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know how you're going to fix that. I'll take $50 for it. I'm like, cool. Tighten the Allen bolts. It's as good as new. And so I got a $400 tripod for $50.
You were misleading, sir.
Was I?
Yeah, a little bit. That's quasi. Quasi stealing.
I think you're wrong.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Passions, huh?
Yeah.
So would you say welding is a passion?
Fabricating for sure. Absolutely. I would say the ability to look at something and go, I can make that better, or I can make it, or see somebody else that made something and go, I can make that myself for cheaper or for nothing with stuff that I already have. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there.
Yeah, so that brings you joy.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's what I think most people got to get back to is like, what brings you joy?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it might not be the activity that brings you joy. Like for instance, the Peloton. I curse at the instructors on the Peloton.
Yeah,
right. While I'm riding, but when I'm done, I get joy out of like looking at my stats and sharing them with my friends.
For sure.
That's the joy. So I go through the hell for the joy.
Yeah.
And then the joy, and that's sort of like little social media stuff. You know, it's like, then somebody says, hey, good job. Nice ride. I'm going to do that. That's the joy. That's the joy.
Yep.
You know, you get that. That's the like.
Yeah.
Ooh, I got 1,000 likes.
The endorphin drip.
The endorphin. So I found a way to figure that out for some shit that ain't really fun, you know. It's fun, but pumping yourself on a bike for 20, 30, 40 minutes, sweating, like I said, to the point when you're tired, you're like, hurry up.
Yeah.
That's not fun, but the joy is at the end of it. You know.
I need to figure that one out because I'm like, I get all this evidence that says, man, I'm so glad that I did that. But before looking into that window, I'm like, I don't want to do
it. You're like, ew.
I really don't want to do it. And I've never regretted it. I have never regretted it after the fact.
So it's like attach the joy to it.
Right.
And so maybe what you need is a little bit of that endorphin deal.
Yeah.
So make this a promise, right? Next time you ride, you send me the ride.
Sold.
You say, hey, man, I just bust this out. And I'm going to be like, yeah. All right. Look at. Booyakacha. Right. So you got to find something at the end of it.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know. It's like Thanksgiving dinner. It's so much. It's so much work. It takes so much time.
Yep.
But then when everybody's sitting down, you said your grace and everybody's like, ooh, who made the deviled eggs and who made the macaroni and cheese?
Right here, baby.
Who made the
Yeah.
Do you say stuffing or dressing?
Stuffing.
Yeah, it's dressing, bro. Okay.
You're wrong. It says right on the box, stuffing. It's not stovetop dressing, bro.
But stuffing is like when you actually stuff it in the turkey.
True.
Yeah. I think it's a black-white thing, honestly.
It could be.
Most black people say dressing. Most white people say stuffing.
So. Uh-huh. All right. I'm going to have to change my vocabulary.
I'm just saying. You say dinner or supper. Where did supper come from?
That's like a working class thing. Like you get home from supper. That was like Little House on the Prairie kind of deal.
Mm-hmm. Supper's on the table, boy.
Yep. You ain't having no supper tonight. I don't even remember. I don't even know which is which anymore.
What type of world is it that you starve your child because they've been bad? You're not eating tonight. Like, wow. Okay. Well, I guess that's what you had to do when you didn't have Pac-Man.
Right. There was no, you can't ground it for
TV. Give me your Game Boy. I'm taking your iPad. It's like no green peas and carrots for you tonight.
No. Oh gosh. I don't even want to know what I would have been like. I was already pretty addicted to television. Like as a kid, with today's technology, my parents would have been, they would have had to murder somebody.
What, with taking you, like taking the TV away from you?
Well, yeah, because it was like, now you've got the TV in your pocket. You've got, and more.
It's on steroids, man.
It's horrible. I barely made it out of being a kid alive with my ADHD. So to have lived my life now, oh boy, I don't know. That would have been bad news.
Well, I see that everywhere. It's like, and I get it, especially for parents with multiple kids.
Yeah.
I hate to see it, but, you know, they're like, oh my God, she's going to be quiet with this iPad and these earphones. They look just like us. It's kids at dinner.
Yep.
They look just like us. Earphones in, got the nice case, and they're watching the show. They're dipping a few nuggets. They're quiet.
Yep.
But it's just like, what is that doing?
Right. Dana? At what cost?
That you can't. So, you know, there's times when you might have to have a kid and they like you might have to go to a church or a funeral.
Right.
And then now you're going to have them iPad up in there.
Yeah, it's like
they'll never be able to sit still.
He's just giving them Novocaine straight up. Let me just give you this anesthetic that numbs your brain because I can't deal with you.
Yeah. When you got three, like I was, we were eating dinner the other night and they had the big stroller. I think they had two, but the one kid was just like, like didn't even speak to the kid.
Mm-hmm.
They just put food in front of him. He ate it. There was no communication. And I'm just like, what is this dude going to grow up to be?
There are a couple movies out there where I feel like they were jokingly predicting the future. The first one is Idiocracy, right? Like just where.
Right.
And I honestly think people are getting dumber. And, you know, back in the day, people used they could figure out the orbit of a lunar body with a slide rule. Right. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like, I don't know how you do that. What?
Yeah.
Or the other movie was like Wall-E, right? Where you had the like cruise ship with people in their hover chairs and like everything was just press a button. It just shows up. It's like, that's how we're headed. Yeah. That feel like that's where we're
kind of. I mean, as a country, like that's one of the things we talk about often. A lot of people get pissed about jobs leaving the States, right?
Yeah.
Especially a lot of like manual labor jobs.
Right.
But when they took all of the home ec and the crafts and shop and everything from our schools in the States.
Yeah.
What happened is we lost the art of that hand-eye coordination.
Completely.
Of doing things.
Completely.
Soldering, you know, needling, all of this stuff. So even if you brought it back, there are people in other countries who still have that as a part of their education. So they'll run circles around us.
100%.
Even if you say, okay, no, we're going to bring this to Iowa or Indiana. We're going to do it here. Have you do it. And by the time you do one, somebody else has done 10.
100%.
And it's not like a cost factor, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a cost factor. It's like they're getting it done. And so we've lost that ability. And at one point, we were the kings of the world of that.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? So we've lost it.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, I constantly maintain that my biggest superpower is being decent or passable at a bunch of stuff, right?
Right.
Like I know stuff about computers. I can fabricate something. I can bust out the sewing machine and sew my shirt back together, or, you know, and it's just mm-hmm. like, I wish that was normal. And I feel like that should be normal. Like you should just want to look at a bunch of things and go, I want to understand that and at least be able to passably be good at a bunch of things. And it's
right.
And that's to me something, that's where that learning thing comes from, because it's like, I don't want to be passionate about just one thing. I don't want to I would rather be okay at 20 mm-hmm. things than really, really, really good at just one thing.
Just one thing.
Yeah.
And then it's different stages for things in your life too.
Yeah.
Because I got friends who just started knitting. And they do really well. And
it's so like, fun. It's so fun.
It came out of nowhere. They make great stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Get you one of those Wooble kits and make a Pikachu or something.
A hat, a Scully.
Yeah.
As you would call it, a beanie.
Yeah. We're not in Canada. Or a toque if you're in Canada.
A what?
A toque. That's what they call beanies in Canada. Toque.
Really?
A toque. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Toque.
Live up in Minnesota, land close to the Canadians, and you get to hear that stuff.
There you go, young man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for fuck's sake, man.
I like Minnesota.
I love Minnesota.
People are nice up there.
Very nice. Like, that was that was funny hearing the Wisconsin-Minnesota banter that a while back.
Yeah. They're nice up there, and they don't really care about the snow and cold. They don't.
No, because they just, you wouldn't live if you cared. You're like, oh boy.
Yeah. But people in Chicago would be like, it's cold. You know, they get pissed. Right. Most Minnesotans, they're like, yeah, no, it's better today. It's 40.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty good. I'm gonna wash the car in the driveway. It's 40 degrees.
It's 28. Let's wear shorts.
No, last time I was there, it was cutting.
That's true.
Cutting fools, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, that wind, man. I don't do wind. I'm okay with any temperature as long as the wind isn't blowing.
So just the steady cold, huh? Not a blowing cold.
No, man. You mix that cold with wind and it's like a laser beam.
That's when it hits your bones.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Big time.
Working in the cold is a whole nother level too.
Mm-hmm.
Because that cold begets hibernation.
Yep. Your body wants to go to bed.
Yeah. And your body is like, I don't want to go outside. So let's go in and then let's have some warm food.
Yep.
Right. And then so most people in a lot of cold states, that's why they tend to have sort of a cyclical weight gain. Because it's nothing to do.
God, but I didn't think about
like
that.
You be like, let's get out of that house. What are you going to do? Go bowling and then you're going to eat nachos.
Nachos. Oh,
why are you bowling?
I got to have some nachos.
Yeah, it's like, not until COVID did I recognize how disgusting bowling was.
I still want to go and whoop your ass at some bowling.
Bro, I have bowling shoes and a bowling ball.
Let's go. Next time we're doing it.
So what does that tell you?
Tells right. me that I got a chance.
But just think, you used to put your hand in a nasty ball and then come back, eat some nachos, eat some chili fries. This is all way before hand sanitizer.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, that stuff doesn't bother me.
But it was like, yeah, no, it doesn't. You're one of the guys that if you drop some food on a table, you'll pick it up and eat it. I've seen
as long as nobody's looking.
I'll be like, I'll be like, bro, that chicken just landed on this bar. And you're like, yeah, boom. You shouldn't be doing that, sir.
I grew up on a farm, man. It was like, like, dude, don't go. Don't waste that.
There's no 20-second rule. It's like, pick it up and eat it.
You will eat that.
You will eat that.
Something wrong with you, boy? Something about to be wrong with you, you don't eat that.
That takes me back to one of my first jobs. It was at McDonald's, and one of the owner. So you could have it. You could own it on your own, or you could just like be part of the franchise. I can't remember if they still do it like this, mm-hmm. but he was like a sole owner.
Yeah.
And so he would run out of shit all the time. He'd run out of buns. Run out of the sauce. Like, I know how to make the special sauce. I don't want them coming for me, so I ain't going to say it. But he would run out of buns, and I was working there, and he was on the phone one time, and I'm making, I don't know, quarter pounders or whatever, dropped a bun on the floor, and he was on the phone, and he was talking to somebody, and he whispered to me, pick that up.
Pick it up.
And I was like, what?
No.
He's like, pick that up and use that bun. And I was like, the dark world of fast food. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You ever see, I don't remember what movie it was. There's some movie where some dude pissed some customer pissed somebody off, and he's like making French toast, and he flips the French toast up, pulls his waistband back, and the piece of French toast slides down his pants.
His butt.
And then he goes out with the piece of French toast in his pants. And he asks the person, did you say that you would like powdered sugar or not? And the person's like, yeah, powdered sugar. And he's like, great. Mm. And he walks away, and you can still see the piece of French toast in his pants.
That's why I don't ever mess with cooks or staff. I'm like,
never.
I try and be the nicest person, bro.
You
they
have
will,
to be. You
they
have
will
to
F
be.
You. They will jam you up, bro.
That's right.
In a major
way. It tastes
way.
So good.
Yuck.
Oh, man.
I do not like it.
Talk about green eggs and ham, bro.
No, thank you. You want to do some Pop Goes the Weasel?
I'm ready, man. I got some Pop Goes the Weasel.
Okay, well, I'll let you go. Pop, pop, pop goes the weasel.
I got one TV and I got one music.
Okay, go ahead.
So the TV is... I loved season 3 of The Reacher is just finished. And
I haven't been able to get, yeah, I haven't been able to, it's good. I haven't been able to restart it. So
yeah,
tell me.
So, you know, it's just Alan Richardson he's just yoked, dude. He's so much better.
He almost seems like the Hulk almost. He seems like so massive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this season, there's a dude that's like bigger than him. And you're like, oh, and the whole season is this like aggression between the two of them, like bigger, a bigger, a bigger. And I haven't watched. There's like one last episode where I think they go to blows, and I don't know what happens yet. Mm. But it's a good show.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Reacher, huh?
Yeah, Reacher. So it's all based on books, right? And that was the thing was, you know, Tom Cruise.
Here you
did
go
too.
With the book. Here you go with the books again. But did you read the book?
No, that's not where I'm going, because I haven't read the books either.
I'm not
reading
Lord of the Rings book.
Whoa, you gotta, that's an investment, bro. That's like a lot. That's a lot of time you got to invest to read those books.
Harry Potter, why am I going to read the book?
Yeah. All I'm saying about the book is that the series and how they have designed and cast the characters, I have heard, is much more authentic to the book. Than the Tom Cruise movies.
Mm, okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Wait, didn't you have music?
Oh, yeah, you're right. A local Seattle band that I really like just came out with a new album. The band is called Deep Sea Diver. And their new album is called... what is it called? It's called... Billboard Heart, and I just got
Billboard
it.
Billboard Heart, huh?
I just got it on vinyl and put it on the record player. And
ooh,
I will
look
tell
at you,
it is a jam.
Yeah, my daughter got a bunch of vinyl for her birthday, so that's so crazy that you see your kid getting vinyl.
I love it,
like a Charlie XCX.
Yeah,
vinyl.
Yeah.
Brat. And I'm like, look at you.
Yeah, both my boys are into vinyl, and it makes me very happy. It makes me real happy.
It just feels good. It takes me back to my, I listened to Bill Cosby on vinyl.
The comedy album?
Yeah. Dad is great.
Give us the chocolate cake.
Yeah, so my pop goes the weasel. Uh-huh. I don't have any music.
You don't have to. Oh, no worries.
Severance, bro.
I gotta finish the season. It's so good.
Oh my god, it's so good. It's so dark. It's so good. Mr. Milchick. It is way out. It's crazy.
Yep.
And now my Instagram algorithm has gotten to me, and it's all of these people that are like, you know, like, don't, you know, spoiler alert. Yep. Right. But they're going all deep. It's like all in the details. Cold Harbor. But everybody there, and the language, the words Mr. Milchick uses, his vocabulary is so like out of control.
Yeah.
So what season are you on?
Bro,
get off your ass and finish it.
I'm going to go do it as soon as we get off the phone right here.
We need to talk about this because next episode, we can just talk about how crazy it is.
Let's do it. It's crazy for me because you ever have this? I didn't mean to cut you off, but
you get
this effect is wild. You know how you like shopping for a car and then it's like, that's the only car you see everywhere.
Immediately or if you're going through a breakup, all you see is people walking holding hands and kissing.
Every song is about you.
you just broke up, you people like, oh baby, I love you.
Oh shut
baby,
the fuck up.
I love the way.
Yeah, every song is singing to you like, no. But
Charlene, how could you?
I have that with actors. I don't know what it is. Like Sarah's been watching. She's like she got back into Parks and Rec, so she had been watching Parks and Recreation on repeat, and then Severance came out, and now we rewatched Big Little Lies because I don't think we'd ever seen season two. And where am I going with all this? Adam Scott is in all of those movies, yeah. Right? The main character of Severance.
He was in Step Brothers.
Step Brother. He has so much range. That man can be 8 billion different people. But that's the thing, is it's like, I feel like you watch something and then it's like all of a sudden that there's an actor that you've in something that you're watching and everything else that you're watching for a while. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, I got one more actually that Lisa put me on this one.
Yeah.
The Residence on Netflix. It's about a murder in the White House.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm not done, but
either am I.
At first, Lisa was like, you're not going to like it because it's a shot. It was just like she characterized me. You're not going to like it because it's a Shondaland in this, but it's an excellent whodunit.
Yeah.
You know, and all the all of those characters, they're crazy, man.
Yeah. I love that kind of stuff.
Netflix.
What's really cool, we were just talking about this with my cousin last night at pizza, is my.
What type of pizza did you get?
I had some Detroit style pizza that they only have on special days.
Yeah. What up? Do you put pineapple on it like a psychopath?
I did not. It was just cheese. Oh, okay. Just cheese.
Oh, okay.
But it was called 8 Mile too, which I think was maybe a little bit stereotyping.
Well, for people who aren't from Detroit, that's one of the pieces. They'd be like, "Oh, 8 Mile." That's what they say. So you're like, "Yeah,
But so we were talking about that show. The cool thing about that show is it's based in the White House, right? Mm-hmm. So and my grandfather, my stepmom's dad, who I was very close with when I was younger, he's a pretty famous painter, and he's got at least 4 paintings that he painted that are in the White House. And so, and they're
really,
yeah. And so a couple of them were, and Sarah was like pausing. She's like, look, Grandpa Aaron. And I'm like, oh, it's Grandpa Aaron's paintings. It's so cool. It's fun. It's fun for me.
That's great. I think I've seen her do a post on that, but I had no idea what she was talking about.
Yeah. So remember that photo when Barack just took office? He still had black hair, and he's standing there looking up at the portrait of JFK, right?
Got it.
That was really cool for me because that is one of the paintings that my grandpa Aaron painted. Yeah.
Good stuff, brother.
You ready for some? I'm going dark again, bro.
Oh, I love it. Let's go. Let's go dark.
So it's this or that.
This or that. This or that.
You could go with dark.
And
I'm going to go with dark. So let's go there.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather be the person who flips the switch on the electric chair, killing the person, or would you rather be the judge that sentences them to death?
Wow. The judge.
But why? I know why I would, but why would you?
I mean, I don't want that on my head. And I think the way they do it is that multiple people flip switches and they don't know which one is it.
I don't know. Maybe
in the States. Yeah. They try and do that because I kind of went down a rabbit hole on that before. Like, you know, like firing squads. It's like
Navy
other
SEALs.
Countries. It's like it's hardcore. But
yeah.
And I guess you want to say a humane way of executing somebody is that nobody knows who has the real bullets.
So you're taking care of the executioners.
Yeah. But yeah. I would just prefer to just be the judge, look at all the facts, and then be like, hey, you know, that's it. Why would, what would you do?
I'd be the judge just because they get paid more. But, okay. So this just inspired a question.
Mm-hmm.
Who is more at fault? Who is guilty? Who is more guilty? The wife who hires a hit on their husband or the hitman?
The wife.
Right. And they didn't do any killing. So in that scenario, the judge has more blood on their hands.
Right. The, you know, there are people out here who have had to kill for a living.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like they've had to kill in wars, all types of stuff, self-defense.
Yeah.
So for us normies, if you will, killing somebody is like beyond our, you know, thought process. And for some other people, it's no different than putting a steak on a grill.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's people like, you want me to kill that person? That's nothing.
Medium rare, right? Okay.
Yeah, that was something else. I can't remember what it was. It was a show. And they were like, you killed the guy? What'd you do? What'd you eat after your first kill? And I think it was American Dad. He was like, yeah, I killed the guy. And it was like, what did you eat?
Uh-huh.
He's like, you always know. He'd be like, I had an egg salad sandwich. Uh-huh. That's what I have every time after I kill a guy. and then this one guy, he was lying that he had killed a guy. And it was like, you don't remember what you ate?
You didn't kill nobody.
So what would you, I got a question for you. So you lay down your first, you pop your first person.
Yeah.
What's your after kill meal?
Probably a Lunchable.
You will mess up a Lunchable.
I will mess because it's like, all right, I gotta get something in my stomach, or else I'm gonna turn into an aggravated asshole. So let me get some calories in me. So probably a Lunchable.
Mm-hmm. I might roll through a Wendy's.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Just like, hey, what's up? Give me a spicy chicken
and a Frosty with fries.
Yeah.
For anybody who hasn't ever had a Frosty, dip your fries in the Frosty. Magic.
One of my boys in high school showed me that. And I was like, "You, where did you come up with this insane wizardry?"
Right.
And he used to dunk it into the McDonald's, like.
The Blizzard?
Not the Blizzard, but like with what were those? Parfaits?
Oh, yeah.
No, it was a sundae because it had caramel and nuts. And I was like, oh, my God. This is delicious.
Way before there was salted caramel, everything.
Right. Right. Man, I like the end of this one. We'll have
this is a good one. This is
we'll
a good
have
one.
To go deeper, bro.
That's right.
Well, as always, I appreciate you, my dude.
Appreciate you, my man.
Peace.
Peace.